Let me introduce the fine panel of people who are going to be answering your questions for you this week. Caroline Crawford, she's from the University of Cambridge, and she's at the end of the scale, which looks at things that are extremely big, because you're a space scientist.
That's right, yes.
So we're going to talk about the universe. Sitting next to Caroline, Colm Durkin, who's also from Cambridge University, and he's concerned with the extremely small. I'm intrigued. Down as small as what?
As small as you can get.
How big's that?
Just about the size of atoms and a bit bigger.
Pretty small.
So pretty small.
I'll hand you that. Thank you, Colm. And Hayden Belfield, a newbie on the programme as well. Welcome to the show. You're from the Centre for Existential Risk. What does that mean and what does that involve?
So these are really big threats to international security. So things like a pandemic or a nuclear war or other happy things like that.
And you calculate or look at the likelihood of those things happening and what ways to mitigate them and so on?
Yeah, very much looking at ways to try and stop them because nobody wants that to happen.
Thank you very much, Hayden. And also here is Liliana Frook, who's a chemist at the University of Cambridge and also a keen cook. But soon to be restaurateur.
Yes. Yeah? And fortunately, there are no big extremes in being a cook.
Extreme
cooking. Extreme of pleasure. Yeah.
Extreme taste.
Yes, exactly.
Surely. Now, everyone's got a bit of a myth to bust for us, haven't you? What's your myth then, Liliana?
Well, I was recently asked about dopamine because I work with dopamine. Dopamine is a hormone that is usually related to all pleasurable things. So people think that this is the hormone of pleasure, but actually it's a hormone of motivation. Very important for learning.
Of course, when one eats some delicious food,
yes,
you are motivated to seek more of the same.
Exactly.
So you will get a rush of dopamine in your brain.
Yes. So it's a motivational hormone. But then you have all kinds of other chemicals which are related of keeping this happiness high.
And from very high to very low, very, very small, Colm, there must be myths abounding in the nano world.
Oh, there are more than you can shake a stick at, Chris. The one that really irks me is people have been saying for about 20 years that nanotechnologists would be able to make what they call nanorobots that can go around the body repairing damaged cells. And that is just complete twaddle. I'm afraid.
Why?
You basically cannot make things that do what you want at those length scales. You just can't. You can't make a little robot that can move around to any part of the body at will and repair cells. We can do things that are pretty cool and that are close, but not quite that. Not an autonomous machine.
Does anyone else feel saddened to hear that?
I know. It's very sorry to shatter your dreams.
I wanted to introduce Caroline's myth as well, because you must have some massive myths with the universe at your fingertips.
Yes, but I'm just going to return to an old chestnut, having had this reflected back at me when I was talking to some school children this week, which is when they think of astronauts floating around in space, I keep getting told there's no gravity in space and that's why they're floating. And I just want to remind people there's plenty of gravity everywhere in space. And, you know, astronauts aren't that far away if they're in the International Space Station. They're only 400 or 500 kilometres further out. So, yeah, they've got reduced gravity, but it's only reduced to 90% of what we have on Earth. So the point is that they're in free fall. They're sitting in an International Space Station that is falling at the same rate as the astronauts around Earth. So there's no kind of reaction force between the two, and that's why they're weightless. So there's plenty of gravity in space.
I must admit, I used to find that quite tricky to understand until actually I met Dave Ansell, who we're going to hear from later on in the programme, who showed me or introduced me to the experiment that Isaac Newton did, or his thought experiment about firing a gun harder and harder, and the bullet goes further and further but falls under gravity, and eventually it's going so fast that it's falling towards the Earth all the time and missing the Earth's surface. And as a result, it's in orbit. And then I suddenly understood, now I understand how it's under the influence of gravity, it's always falling, and falling and missing.
Yeah, that's exactly what an orbit is. You're just falling towards something. It's just like it's deflecting your route and just sort of continually curving you around, but you're not being pulled onto something.
Thank you, Caroline. And Hayden, what have you got for us in the myth department?
So the myth I thought I could talk about today was that we should be scared of the Terminator. The things we have to be worried about, the real risks aren't to do with some unstoppable, evil robot thing that's marching towards you and has two hands and scary red eyes. The real risk is that our artificial intelligence, AI systems are not smart, that they break in many different ways, that they have like big accidents, or that they get misused by sort of bad actors. It's not that this one evil red-eyed thing is out to get you.
There are far more ways to do evil and be evil than just building a robot to
exactly,
do it for you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.